this morning we are going to, I ended up back in Mark chapter 2, verse 13. So if you want to turn there, but I think probably part of the reason that I ended up getting back to this passage this morning was more of the question up there, why Levi? That was the second question. The first question was, why me? My grandma used to always listen to a song when she wasn't feeling well. Why me, Lord? What have I ever done to deserve even one of the treasures you gave? Now, those of you that are old enough remember that song. Those of you that don't, I'm sorry, because it's a great song. But I began to ask myself a question this week, why me? And I want you right now, and this sounds really, really strange, but I want you to say and ask that same question, why me, Lord? Because too many times we get the idea that God doesn't want to use me. God wants to use you. If He's called you, if you've accepted Him as your personal Lord and Savior, then He has a purpose for you. He has a job for you. But too many times we think, well, you know, there's other people out there that He's going to use, that He could use. And so we don't even get to the why me question. We don't get to that question because we assume that there's no reason why He would use me. That's where we get as individuals. We have all got to that point. Why would I sing? Because God gave you the voice. Why would I play an instrument? Because God gave you the talent. Why would I go talk to somebody? Because God has given you the love of Jesus in your heart. There is a reason that He has called you to do what He's called you to do. And so you're going to get to the question, you're going to get to that point in your life when you're talking to somebody, when you're playing an instrument, singing a song, whatever it is you're doing, you're going to get ready to do it, and you're going to say, God, why me? Why do you want me to do this? Why are you choosing me? There are so many other people out there that are so much more talented. And I see somebody smile, and I'm not going to call out a name, but this guy volunteers me to do all kinds of things. He volunteers me to play the keyboard or the drum box or the bass guitar. He's really good at volunteering me. And that's the amen you're hearing right there. And so the one time that I volunteered him to pray at the end of the service, he about had a heart attack. And I told him, you keep volunteering me, I'm going to start volunteering you to pray. But I say all of that because we all have the idea that, oh, Pastor, don't call on me to pray because I'll get too nervous. Don't ask me to play the bass guitar because I would be all thumbs and I don't know what I'm doing. God, don't call me to do these things. Why would you use me? Why me? And so that idea, that thought, that drive this week brought me back to Mark chapter 2, verse 13. And so let's read, if you would, read along with me just a few verses. Then he, meaning Jesus, went out again by the sea, and all of the multitude came to him, and he taught them. And as he passed by, he saw Levi, the son of Alphaeus, sitting at the tax office. And he said to him, follow me. So he arose and he followed him. Now it happened, as he was dining at Levi's house, that many tax collectors and sinners also sat together with Jesus and his disciples. For there were many, and they followed him. And when the scribes and Pharisees saw him eating with the tax collectors and sinners, they said to his disciples, how is it that he eats and drinks with tax collectors and sinners? When Jesus heard it, he said to them, those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick, I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Let's pray. Father God, we open your word this morning with the heart and the idea of knowing that you want us to hear something. So, Father, I pray that you would speak to us. Speak to us as a congregation. Speak to us as individuals. Lord, move us to hear what you have for us this day from your word. May you receive glory and honor. Lord, may your Spirit move. May we experience you today. In your name I pray. Amen. And again, I go back to that question of why would Jesus want me? And it brought me to this passage of why would Jesus call Levi? Now, Levi is another name for Matthew, but Levi was actually the tribe he was from. And you remember the tribe of Levi from the Old Testament. They were the priests. They were the ones that God had called to be his priests. And so how does a man go from being of the tribe of Levi to a tax collector and a publican? Man. He should have had it all passed down to him, and he probably did. But I got back to that question of why would Jesus call Levi when he had obviously not stayed with that tribe, that understanding of who the Levites were. And it tells us that Jesus had a multitude that came to him. He had just cleansed someone, and so that he went back and he told people after Jesus asked him not to. And so everybody started following Jesus. And they come to him and he began to teach them as they walked along. So Jesus has a multitude of people around him. And he's already been teaching them before he even comes to Levi. Jesus, why do you need Levi when you've got a multitude of people that you've already been teaching? God, why do you need me when there are so many other people out there that have followed you for so many years and they know so much more than I do because you've taught them? Why, God, would you use me? Why would he call Levi when he had been teaching all these other people? What difference does one more person make? What difference is one more person? Why choose Levi? Because Jesus already knew what Levi was. Man, a tax collector was a Jewish, most of them were Jewish citizens that worked for the Roman government. And so they were kind of betraying their own people. They were taxing their own people and then giving the money to the Roman government. But not only that, they had power given to them by the Roman government that if your taxes were, say, $50, I could charge you $60 and keep the extra $10. And that's what they did. He was a very rich man, but he got it based on what he skimmed off of the top. So how popular do you think that made him with the people around him? Probably not. He's a tax collector. He's a cheater. He's probably very unpopular. He's probably not a holy person because if you hear the Pharisees say here at the end of this, Jesus is eating with tax collectors. Man, the rich people or the religious people had nothing to do with them. So it's probably not an idea that he was in church every Sunday. And he was probably a busy man. Here he is by the sea. He's in this tax collector's booth. And so it was probably the idea that he was taking the ferry tax. You know, they would have a boat that would go across and he would be able to tax the people for that. Just anything they could do to tax people, they would. And so that was his job. So he was busy. So he was a tax collector, a cheater, unpopular, probably unholy person, and a very busy man. What good is one more man like that going to be? Why would Jesus call him? Because Jesus knew all of this stuff about Levi. But Jesus saw who Levi was. And not the outside stuff, the rest. He was Jewish, so he was probably familiar with the Old Testament and the customs. He was probably somewhat educated. He was good at keeping records. He had connections with several people, even if they were publicans, even if they were tax collectors. He had connections. Jesus knew who he really was. Yes, he knew everything bad about him, but he knew everything else about him too. So Jesus could see who he was, but he also saw who he could be. Man, I love this because sometimes when I look at who I used to be, and just like Levi, I was in the tax collector's booth. But God saw who I could be in him, I guess, and he decided to call me. I'm still asking that question to this day. But here, he saw who Levi could be. He knew he could be a loyal follower. And Matthew is going to follow Jesus. He gets up. When Jesus says, follow me, he gets up, leaves everything and follows him. He knew he would be a trusty disciple. And a disciple wasn't just somebody that came along and listened to what you said, but they took what you said and they passed it on to somebody else. And when Jesus saw Levi, even sitting in that tax collector's booth, man, he would make a great author of a gospel. He would make a great author because he's used to detail. He's used to keeping records. And he comes and he ends up writing the gospel of Matthew. If I passed over this, Levi and Matthew are the same. But you know, I'm pretty sure that if I had been Levi on that seashore and Jesus said, follow me, I would have said, why me? And I think most of us here would. But Jesus saw potential in Levi that I guarantee you Levi didn't see in himself. And I want you to understand that God sees potential in you and I that we will never see in ourselves. Because if you or I ever get to a point to think, oh, it's about me. I can do this. I'm qualified for this. I can do this. Then you're in trouble. But when Jesus sees the potential in you, most times you don't. So he not only saw who he was, saw who he could be, but he saw who he could reach. Now, he wasn't going to reach the Pharisees and the Sadducees because they wouldn't have anything to do with him. Wouldn't even eat dinner. But Matthew goes and he connects with those other tax collectors and those other people that the religious people wouldn't have anything to do with. He connects with all of them. He opens his house. He has a huge meal for them. He uses everything he has to bring people to Jesus. Hey, I'm gonna have a big meal at my house and I'm gonna invite Jesus and I'm gonna invite all my friends so that they can see this Jesus that I met. Then he goes and he ends up writing the gospel. And Jesus saw the potential in him, saw who he could be. But then he also saw who he would glorify. You know, because a lot of times when somebody has given them an opportunity or an ability, they go to do it. And they begin to look at themselves. And before you know it, it turns into about them. But everything Matthew did that we know of here pointed people to Christ. Because of him being a Jew, his writings were, he was targeting Jewish readers. Man, he was going to write a gospel that people who were Jews would understand. They would understand the customs. They would understand the Old Testament scriptures. And he could write about that because he knew about that. And he would give God the glory for that. And he would not just tell of all the miracles that Jesus did, but he would take what they call the five discourses of Jesus, the five sermons that Jesus taught. He would take those and he would break them down and he would say, this is how you're supposed to be a disciple of Jesus. This is how a child of the kingdom is supposed to act. All, not just, this is what happened, but take what happened, take what he said and follow him and point people to Jesus. Now, this was this tax collector, this cheater, this unpopular, unholy guy has turned and everything he did pointed people to Jesus. He followed Jesus, but he also made it the opportunity for other people not to follow him, but to follow Jesus. So we wrap up this part. Jesus saw where he was as a cheater. He saw who he really was. He saw who he could be. And he saw who he could reach. And so it sounds like a silly question for me now to ask, why Levi? Man, it's obvious. People have been reading the Gospel of Matthew for thousands of years. Why would I, as a pastor, say, why Levi? The same reason you say, why me? Because we don't see it. Levi did nothing but follow Jesus. As I'm going through this sermon this week, and a lot of times I'll come up here and I'll walk it through my head and I'll pray about it, and I'm thinking, God, I'm missing something. I don't want to miss something. And I'm thinking, okay, God, I run all those things I just said back through my head, and I'm like, what am I missing? Man, it's what he saw in Levi, right? Levi had to do a lot of things. He had to change. His position had to change because Jesus called him to follow him. He had to leave that tax collector's booth. When Jesus calls us, now if I'm a school teacher, I may still be a school teacher. But there's a change in my life. The position in my life, the attitude of my life has changed. Not only has the position changed, but my priorities changed. It's no longer about me, it's about Jesus. And not only has my position and my priorities changed, but also my purpose. The things I'm doing are to glorify God. And not only my position, my priorities, and my purpose, but my praise should no longer be towards men or towards myself, but towards God. And I thought, man, how much change has to take place when God calls me, when God calls you? Those things have to change. And so I thought, God, that's what it is. It's that first part about why Levi, and then it's about how Levi had to change. And he kept saying there's more. He kept saying there's more. And last night, going through my prayer time, kind of wrapping up everything for the week, and God said, it can't be all about why Levi. Why did Levi? What did he see in Jesus? Well, that seems really simple, right? Doesn't that seem backwards? No. Because if Levi had not seen something in Jesus, he'd have still been in that tax collector's booth. It's not about Levi. It's about Jesus. Because when Levi saw him, he had been taught, he knew the Old Testament customs. He had been raised at least with that knowledge, even though he wasn't following it. And he gets to the point of understanding that this is the Messiah. This is the fulfillment of the law. This is the Son of David. This is the Savior of the world here. That's why I'm following him. That's why he left that booth. It wasn't curiosity. He knew this was the fulfillment of everything he had ever heard. This was the Messiah, the Son of God. And he followed him. And so I got back and I thought, well, God, how do we tie this together? It seems like three clumpy sermons. No. It's because when you and I get to asking what God sees in us, it doesn't matter. Because he sees something in all of us But what matters is what do you see in Him? Man, we know He can see something in me because He used dust and made Adam. He used a stick and caused it to sprout. He used a rock and caused it to give water. He can use anything. So don't ask why me. But when you see who He is, when you see Jesus for who He is, you will leave that tax collector's booth. But you will have to see Him not as a good teacher. You will have to see Him not as a popular miracle worker. You will have to see Him as the Son of God. You will have to see Him as the Savior of the world. But more importantly, you will have to see Him as your personal Savior. Because He can be all those other things, and you'll stay in your booth. And you'll keep asking, why me? Why would He want me? Because of who He is. Because He came to be a sacrifice. Because He loved you so much, He chose to die on the cross to take away the penalty of your sins. He did that because He loves you. And until you see that in Him, you will stay in your booth. And I'm not talking a terrible, wicked man in a booth by a lake. I'm talking your booth that separates you from what He wants you to do. I don't know what your booth is. Sometimes I don't see my booth until He pulls me out of it. But you know, that's kind of the case. You never see the booth when you're on the inside. Till you're willing to step out of the booth, you will never see the booth that's holding you back. That's where we have to be. As we look at this, we see what Mark saw in Jesus, or Levi saw in Jesus. He chose to give up everything to follow Jesus. And when he did, he became that disciple, that author, that follower of Jesus. So I'm going to ask you a couple questions here. How do you see Jesus? And I know there's that thought out there, well, there's a lot of people, this Sunday morning, there's a lot of Christians here. Yes, I understand that, and yes, I'm asking you the same way I ask myself. How do you see Jesus? If you just see Him as just your Savior, just the Son of God, just the Messiah, then He's just going to be normal to you. But if you see Him as the Son of God that loves you personally, then you will follow Him. And you will be a disciple. And that disciple, like I said, you take what you learn and you pass it on. If you see Him as Jesus, you will continue daily to be a disciple. If you don't, and there's some out here, I'm sure, today that do not see Him other than just a story from a book that's read quite often. Somebody that was a teacher, somebody that they proved died on a crucifixion cross. They proved it. They know the tomb was empty, but he's just that person from history to you. Then you're probably still in a booth. But Jesus is coming by to say, hey, let's come out of the booth. Follow me. That's what he wants. But until you're willing to see him for who he is, your Savior, you will never become a disciple. You will never be a follower of Jesus. You will never be able to to tell someone about the love of Jesus if you've never really accepted it for yourself. Now, you can tell them and they may accept, but you're going to miss the experience if He's not your personal Savior. As a disciple, you need to be out there making other disciples. If you've accepted Christ, I need to be out there doing that. Well, you know, that's just part of it. Yeah, that's part of it. But if I see Him for who He is, then I'll know why He chose me. I'll know that He sees something in me. I'll know that He can use me. I know that He desires to receive glory and honor from my life. So you've got a choice. How are you going to see Jesus when you walk out of this place? I hope you don't see Him the same as you did when you came in. Because if you see Him the same as you did when you come in, you're no closer to Him. You're still asking the why questions. You're not doing anything any different. Then I'm sorry, I've wasted your time. But the God of this universe loves you too much to leave you the way you are. And I'm not saying you're bad, but you're still not the way you should be. None of us will be until the day that we stand before Christ in heaven. None of us will be what we're supposed to be until we stand before Him. So that tells me that I have a long way to go. And I say this in the nicest way, but so do you. So don't be content where you're at. Get out of your booth. Let's pray. Father God in heaven, we just come before You. We put ourselves here this morning praying that You would speak to us. That You would be glorified, that You would teach us, that You would draw us. God, help us to see You. Break the scales off of our eyes. That we would see You for who You are. That You would change us forever, one day at a time. Father God, I praise You for Your word. In Your name I pray. Amen.